I'm Francesca Alexander, ex-Los Angeles makeup artist turned online marketer who now lives in Auckland, New Zealand. I teach small business owners profitable, actionable steps to build highly engaged social media results. We build SEO and social media systems with ease. It's truly a collaboration. Welcome to the Hustle and Glow podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what the beauty industry has taught me, not only as a marketer, but just generally, how do you connect with people in sales and how do you build a following? Coming up next. Hey there, I'm so glad that you found us and we will get into the show in just a moment. But one of the things I want to talk about is just sort of circle back on some issue that I had brought up in the past about C-suite women just getting it wrong. And in particular, I wrote this article that I even published on LinkedIn, and it was really focusing on Bethany Frankel. And Bethany Frankel, quite a while ago, I'm seeing if I can actually look at the date. I don't have the date, but it's been quite a while ago. It's definitely before Kim K saying, hey, you just have to work harder. She was on a live and taping herself on a live on Instagram, and it was about her giving advice. And guess what the advice was? The advice was absolutely the same. Well, people just got to work hard. They have to really work hard to get where I'm at. And I had written this whole article about, you know, how it just missed the mark because that was a very insular conversation with women that were not of color. Because if you are a woman in color, I would say, I don't want to broadly generalize or speak, but for most of us that are women of color, work harder always than our counterpart who are Caucasian women. And the opportunities are just not the same. It's nothing to compare or argue or debate. They just haven't been. And it's kind of like proving that there's water. It's like proving that there is racism. It's a moot point from my perspective. It is happening. And when we hear that advice from women that do not include in the same breath, however, I know that the experience is different from, you know, a different walk of life, whether you're, you know, a Latina woman or an Asian woman or a brown woman, you are going to have a different conversation altogether. So that needs to be said. And what I really am actually happy that Kim K did this mistake as well, is that maybe we start having that realistic conversation, not only in the boardroom, because I try to speak of it in that, you know, in with peers that are business owners, that are founders, that understand that the experience for a woman is not equal. And that needs to happen when we have guests or, you know, guest speakers or mentors or people that are in this space of privilege talk about their experience and how they, you know, achieve what they achieve. Now, Bethany Frankel in particular is a really interesting character in my book, because not only am I, or was a big fan, I should say was, because she's very complicated. So she does all this great relief work and showed up in spaces where there are disasters, and that's her driving force, and she's amazing at it. Definitely would never take anything away from that, because that is good, solid work and really beautiful that she does something like that. But at the same time, that insular viewpoint in business, in knowing what's in front of her, is really harsh. And I just imagine, because I was in an environment where it was a great business, it was thriving business, it was something I was proud of. And then you hear the founder or the CEO say something that was completely, you know, it lands flat and wasn't very objective, and it definitely wasn't a diversified you know, view, like Bethany Frankel, who actually did a follow-up podcast talking about the Kim K controversy. I think it's the episode is Kim Said What, and it was aired in March. I don't know what number episode it was, but she did an episode regarding Kim K and what she said, and how, you know, it's bad for the brand and how she can, you know, good things will come out of it. Maybe she gives money to those affected. Those who are affected are not included in that conversation. And she went on and on. But I thought what was really interesting is that she wasn't even self-aware that she did that, that she posted something on Instagram. And I just thought it was really interesting in that point of view. So you're going to speak to somebody who is of privilege, who doesn't get that all women work really hard, but you've done the same thing. You know what I mean? And there's such a dichotomy with me and my point of view because, okay, but this is the same woman that went to Puerto Rico to help with, you know, any sort of charity work, money, any sort of, you know, efforts to help rebuild and help the people that were there. So her actions are great. I think that if we can continue to encourage people in the C-suite area that are doing speaking events, that are mentors for a lot of people, and including myself, a woman of color that considered Bethany Frankel a absolute genius and absolute trailblazer with entrepreneurship, I would just love to see the full conversation. And I would feel remiss if I didn't even talk about it or didn't say it about it, because it struck me hard when I just, I saw that. Because yes, I absolutely listen to her podcast when I can. And when I saw that Kim Said What, I'm like, you gotta be joking, but maybe she's gonna address what she has missed herself. So I played it and I was disappointed. And I think that, yeah, I was disappointed. I was absolutely disappointed because I think that this is a great opportunity for her to grow because she is doing a podcast, but I think that she's still at that insular level when she's doing a podcast. She's not looking at the broad scope of how things affect people, excluding her actual experience. So going outside of that, seeing what women of color are really experiencing, maybe even diving in and doing some work with women of color and entrepreneurialism and see what those differences are. I do bring up again and again, like if you wanted to be a startup and you were a, you know, woman of color, women in general get less than 1% of funding of this huge startup space, right? Less than 1%. Think about what the percentage is, and it's so low, I can never get an accurate number of what the women of color percentage is. It's a blip. It's not even on a chart. We can't even get that percentage out there. So there's a lot more work that I feel that we need to do. I mean, I feel like so many feelings. I feel that a lot of women of color feel the same thing. We need that outreach. We need women that are of color in these founder positions, in these CEO positions, to voice out more. I am trying to put up, even in my podcast, I'm trying to attract and trying to bring in more women of color for different perspectives, because it is really interesting when I do have a woman of color on here, it's can be polar opposite of what I think, but it's important for us to hear because we need to connect. We need to understand that this is achievable. Our work is achievable. Our success is not only achievable, it's our future. There's no way around it. So that was it. That before we get started, I wanted to say that, get it off my chest, and we'll go ahead and go on to the best part, which is, I mean, literally, going into my experiences with the beauty industry coming up next. Like many small business owners, doing all the things to run a successful business, like keeping the lights on and introducing new clients to your business, can be overwhelming, let alone the planning, learning, and executing your social media. Introducing Social Collab. Social Collab is designed to make the process of social media easy. If you have a small team, or even if you're on your own, We have designed Social Collab just for you. We have modeled Social Collab after solo business owners and that we've worked with internationally, and produces content that you're proud of and also has meaningful engagement. Your next step is to click below on our Calendly link and book a discovery call today. Mention this podcast for a special limited time offer. Hey there, so glad you're back. So this episode is really about what the beauty industry has taught me, but in particular, what I'm taking forward with me and have used in a lot of marketing principles. So I have been a cosmetic girl behind the counter in a department store. I've worked with MAC Cosmetics for quite a number, almost 10 years. I have also had, I was a founding member of the Kate Somerville skincare staff as a online sales and online marketing person, which developed their social media campaign. So I have a long runway with the beauty industry. And it has been great. I did love every minute of it, but most of it I loved, or most of the thing, the biggest thing I loved was connecting with that customer and giving them the transformation that they were seeking in the first place when they met you. And if that, I could get anybody to take away something, that was my biggest thing. And I think even till today, I still get very much inspired about, you know, selling skincare or, you know, cosmetics, but more skincare, because I think that that's longer lasting. It's kind of like a crush, a crush or the love of your life. You know, the crush is the makeup and the love of your life is a skincare, because that is sustainable. That is something that's going to keep you going and definitely see the value in skincare a bit more. But, you know, one of the other things, or one of the points, I'm actually going to go through a couple of points of what I've experienced and learned. And one of them was definitely showing up. And showing up could be anything from meeting your customer and fully actively listening to what they're doing. So it may not, you know, it's just like, I'm just going to pull something out. Like if I was a MAC cosmetic girl, you know, it's not about just getting the right lipstick for the upcoming wedding she's going to. It's about looking absolutely fierce in front of her ex-boyfriend. You know what I mean? So I'm going to get a lipstick. I might get more, but I'm going to get that lipstick because I want to look amazing when I'm at that wedding. And yes, my ex-boyfriend is going to be there. That's the why, the larger why. And if we really show up for our customers, we will find out what that why is. And I usually rattle off my why when I'm, you know, if I'm seeing an esthetician or I'm getting a treatment, I will say why I'm here. Well, I want to prevent aging, or I want to be able to resurface my skin. And the real why is because I want to look really, really young as long as I can, or, you know what I mean? Or just look really healthy. Sometimes my skin just needs to look really super healthy, and I want to look really well taken care of. If I were to take a photo or do a video or do something like that, I want to be as radiant as possible for me. So those things are really important. So about showing up, and it could mean a lot of different things for you. Sometimes it's just about listening, to your client or customer. I usually say clients, by the way, because I don't believe in customers. I really don't. Customers are so transactional. You may never see them again. Where clients, you want to develop that relationship, and you always want to see them come back. I even have a few in my pocket that I consider, you know, people that are in that realm, even though they never bought anything from me because they've been following me for years. But they still value what I think, and that's amazing. So I actually have a lot of gratitude for that, and I continue to treat them as clients in my mind. They're clients, and I am building that relationship. So also, too, when you do have a purchase or an interaction where business has been, you know, has changed hands, then you listen. I think old school. I remember my days at Nordstrom where we would send a thank you note. I still do that. I still send thank you notes to people that either have bought a digital product or, you know, done something or did it in some sort of form where there's a thank you note involved, whether it's an email at the very least. Thank you notes are really important. You really want to be able to show that person how important they are, not only to your business, but really you, how they affected you. Because if you haven't had a really positive interaction with a client, then you're not doing it right. And if certainly there is something that you'll learn from everybody. And it's nice to mention it. Pain points. Now, there's a lot of different pain points within the beauty industry, depending on what you're selling or what type of service you provide. But understanding truly what those pain points are by listening to your customers. So it could be about you sending a survey to somebody and saying, hey, can you just answer these three questions? I used to do it during a consultation. Like I would say just one question, and that one question would be, what is the one thing that you would like to change about your appearance or about your skin? So appearance would mean makeup, skin would be skincare. So depending on the answer, and the answer is always vast, it absolutely tells them where they're at, especially when it comes to skin condition. So if their skin is dehydrated or there's a lot of surface dry skin, then you know that they're probably stressed out. They're totally dehydrated. Something is not right in their personal ecosystem. Like, you know, where is that life balance? Is there one? How are they feeling? What's going on? You know what I mean? And that could be a deeper layer. It's not trying to get everything to the surface, but it's certainly about taking care of what is in front of you. And if you do it well, it will reveal some of the other pain points that person is going through. So it's really important to ask that question, an open-ended question, and then just listen. You'll get a lot out of it. Point of view. Okay, this is something I wrote down because let's just go back a little bit because I was going to go into like why I like these particular set of videos, but instead let me ask the question of, what is the feeling that you want to put out there when you're creating social media for potential customers or clients? I should say clients. What is that experience or what is that sort of, you know, feeling that you want to convey to them? So a lot of creators are also creating the anti-customer campaigns where they're walking into a Sephora and they were a previous Sephora worker and they're telling and listing laundry listing experiences that are horrible from crazy customers. And there's also one, I think there was a hairdresser who does something like that too. And I love, or stylist, sorry, my age is showing. When the stylist is doing that in particular, and she's talking about these ridiculous conversations she has with customers that are argumentative. Now, I will say, and I'll be very truthful, those type of videos do well. And the reason why they do well is because they're in the space of negative chatter. Negative chatter in social media always does well. So there you go. I'm being truthful with that. However, when you're looking at your brand and what you want to convey, do you want to come from a place of complaining about customers? Or do you want to talk about transformative type of experiences you have with your client face to face, you and the phone, just talking through what has happened and then the awe aspect of what it is that you deliver. The more positive that interaction is on social media, the more comfortable that potential client is going to come and seek you. One of the things that always got me and always just really, I always pushed the boundary to this, and when I was a MAC makeup artist, is that while going in to the MAC counter, sometimes the MAC makeup artists look really intimidating. They are either completely so primed and beautiful and completely spackled, which at the time, and I'm pretty sure it still is, that you have to have a certain look on your face with the seasonal colors, and you have to have that studio fix so thick on that it, you know, there's so much layering, and the intimidation is crazy. MAC Cosmetics was actually made for editorial or even theater. So it's really heavy. So sometimes going, that's really kind of hard. One of the really good MAC makeup artists will smile immediately. And so to break that down and then, oh, this is great. I can actually talk to somebody. That's not always the case. So we want to be able to really get that, I guess that barrier out of the way. So one of the ways that I've done it is I've actually made sure that I was very approachable. I would actually come up to people and not trigger the whole, oh, I'm just looking. I hate that. I do it, by the way. I totally do that. But I don't want my client to do that. What I'd rather them do is like, you know, this is, oh, I just want to show you this because I saw you and I thought this would really look great on you. And can I try it on you? Just super simple, super easy. Not about, oh, we're actually running this special kit today. And with this, no, shut up. I don't care. I don't want to give a purchase. I don't, none of it. Thank you. I'm just looking. Like, that's the whole thing. But to make it more personal is something that really helps with that connection. And I'd rather have a connection than a sale any day, because the connection will get that person to seek you out in a sea of other MAC makeup artists. You want to stand out and you want to be the person that's like, oh my God, there's Francesca. I'll ask her. She gets me. And that's better because you know what? There is a MAC makeup, anything everywhere. They're in airports. They're everywhere. There's kiosks everywhere. What makes you different from everybody else? That is the point. That is the thing. What is the transformation that you offer? And finally, it all brings it back to this, which is what I teach in social media and what I really help my clients discover. And it is, how do you want to create an experience by looking at your social media? So if you offer a service or a product, how do you deliver the look and feel, the energy of that experience when you're actually working with you on social media? Forget about how many hashtags, forget about how, you know, everybody in my field is doing social media that looks like this. Forget about the other TikTok artists that are doing, you know, have 100K plus people. Forget about all of that. Let's talk about you and what you offer, because I will tell you that is the connection and will draw people like a magnet, the right people, the right clients to you, because they resonate for what you're saying and they want to know more. They want to know more about, you know, what you know. If you talk about features and products all the time, wow, this person is really not knowledgeable. If they talk about things that are seasonal, hey, we're going into the winter months. These are things that you need to know to help hydrate your skin. Great. So she totally knows what I'm going through. You know, it could be, it's like, you know, anything that has to do with your particular, and the simple thing is, if you are particular with who you are as a person, you're most likely going to grab clients that are of your experience. So that's exactly what the type of content you should be doing. So let's just say you're a 35-year-old single mother that is passionate about, you know, health, good skin health, and stuff like that, then that's the content you should absolutely be doing. Even if it's talking about, you know, smooshing up, you know, fruit for a mask that your kid can help play with. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it is that's genuine to you, that's going to hit and land really well with your potential clients. And that's something that you really should concentrate on doing. Definitely, and share that experience over and over again. So even when you get blocked, you're like, oh gosh, what am I going to write about today? Or what am I going to put on social media? I would say stop. Don't do that. Don't flick and stick. What I want you to do instead is open up a notebook and write down, you know, your first, like kind of like a journal prompt. How do I want to create an experience working with me? And then you just go ahead and you jot down all of those things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the easiest way to put on false lashes with a mirror tilted, you know, just anything that you can think of, stuff that you think that is seasonal. So, and here in New Zealand, we're coming out of summer and it's starting to get crisp. So, you know, what are the things that, you know, what are the smoothies that will work really well with our skin? What are a couple of things that we need to know when our makeup is starting to stick to our skin and we see dry patches around our nose? What are simple, easy ways to get rid of that? You know what I mean? So it's just like boom, 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 boom. All of the little bits and pieces that are seasonal that happen this time of year, you can just kind of just write it down really, really, really quickly. Keep a log of it, or you can even keep a Google sheet with it. So when next year rolls around, you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, this is January. So January is about, you know, renewing who you are, and it's fresh and it's a great start. So these are my themes. These are some of the topics that I said. And we actually go over that in Social Collab by not only creating a library of past content, but getting that, you know, idea generating system for your social media to start to happen. Because that's one of the most important things that you can do. Even before writing, everybody says, write a content calendar. Well, how do you know where to start? One of the ways to do it is to really think about maybe even opening a glossy magazine, going online to Vogue.com and just seeing what is out there right now, what is stimulating your thought process and what we should be talking about. What direction should we be going? You can use publications that are very close and dear to your industry to do that. My favorite super secret, not so secret way to do a lot of the marketing stuff I do is I go on O Magazine and look at their editorial calendar that usually sits online, and it's literally sectioned out by season, so you can figure out what you're going to want to say or how are you going to want to approach clients. And absolutely what's also supports all your social media is to go ahead, and I always say MailChimp because I love MailChimp, in terms of newsletters, and do one that looks just like your social media, so you're cohesive and you have that same sort of branding and that same theme, and talk about the same thing that you talked about on social media in a newsletter, almost like a blog, so people can really connect with you and understand where you're going. You see what I'm saying? So it's really important for you to put all of that out there. And I'm not going to tell you know your why, because it's not know about it. Of course, that's great when you start off a business and you know your why and you're getting stuck in the business plan of it. But social media is so different. Your why is very similar and crosses over why your clients came to you in the first place. So think about their pain points, what type of transformation they want. Thank yous mean a lot. Showing up for them just by listening, getting that and talking even through the transformation while you're applying or testing out products. That is great, because you know what? The cool thing about social media is that you can do the same exact thing as you would as if you were in a counter. With COVID, we can't always be at a counter, but we can be in front of a phone camera and still demonstrate the product. So if we demonstrate the product or the service or the treatment, we can still get a full vision of what it is to receive that. And it'll be easier for us to book our clients, potential clients, to book that next step with you, which is so important. It's so important. So think of that. And then lastly, always, every time you are stuck, whether it's in social media, what do you want to promote? What is in your editorial calendar? What should be in your newsletter? Go back to how do you want to create an experience? And that will actually enlighten everything you do and get you on the right track. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I put tons of information in the show notes here. So if you want to follow me on social media, have a bigger conversation, you can even DM me and tell me what you thought about the show, or have any suggestions for me, let me know. And I will be eagerly awaiting you to listen to my next episode that should be coming around in about a week. I'll talk to you then. Bye for now.